Christmas morning, and how grateful we are as a congregation to the Patty family for bringing their gifts this morning to our worship. From the Gospel of Luke, we hear these words. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, descendant of Abraham, descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled by this word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." And then the angel left her. Mary, you have found favor with God. What does it mean to be in God's favor? So much of life is ordinary, the things that make up life from day to day, preparing and eating meals, collecting the mail, phone calls, texts, emails, tweets, and all that other electronic stuff. The announcement of a pregnancy, one cousin sharing good news with another cousin, Mary and Elizabeth swapping stories. The excitement of new life within. Ordinary things. Babies are born all the time. But isn't each one a miracle? Shot through with glory. So much of life is ordinary. The ordinary peasant girl in Israel, concerned with her day-to-day needs, drawing water for each day, meals, discovering who she was as a daughter, becoming a young woman, discovering a young man by the name of Joseph, talking of marriage, ordinary things, yet filled with wonder, filled with hope, filled with an as yet unopened story, full of promise. And among these ordinary things, to this one, to this young peasant woman, in an occupied land, to this Mary, comes the announcement from the angel Gabriel that she has found favor with God. We can only imagine Mary's feelings. Overwhelmed. Fear. What kind of a message is this? But the words are there. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." What does it mean to be in God's favor? If we think it means that life will now be easy, that once in God's favor, no more problems will we face, that once in God's favor, lights will always turn green, there will always be a parking space, that life will be a fairy tale come true. If that is what Mary imagined, if that is what we imagine, what we picture it is to be in God's favor, then we will be severely disappointed. For Mary, to be in God's favor meant giving birth in a stable. We have sanitized it. We've made it a warm, cuddly place with friendly animals surrounding a cute little baby. But in fact, it was a desperate couple, called out by a Roman census and taxation, called out of their home to travel when Mary was great with child. A desperate couple, looking for any place that might provide some shelter, finding only a stable for the birth of their firstborn child. We have so often seen the figures in the creche, Mary with her hand extended, praising, worshiping this newborn child, Joseph looking stoic and noble, little emotion, but hovering over Mary protectively. We sometimes forget that this was a real stable smelling. Mary looking pale and wan, disheveled and exhausted, clutching the child to her, relieved that the ordeal was over, the child was born well and safe. An extraordinary birth only in its humility and its poverty. Many years ago, I saw a Christmas card that had the typical creche scene. But when you focused a little closer on the background, you noticed that one of the hills was actually a World War II army helmet. And on the other side was a burned out village, still smoldering in ruins. For Mary, to be in God's favor meant the reality of this world as it is. For Mary to be in God's favor meant the terror of the news that mad King Herod was on a rampage. Did she know that her child was the target of his wrath? Did Joseph tell her of his dream? She obviously knew that they must flee for their lives, that they would become refugees in Egypt. Joseph at least told her that much. But did he tell her why? Did Mary have to live with the memory that other children had been murdered in an attempt on her child's life? For Mary to be in God's favor meant to watch her grown son hang on a cross between two thieves. To be in God's favor guarantees no easy road. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. But Mary was much perplexed by these words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Be not afraid." There's a story of a World War II GI someplace in Europe. It was Christmas morning, and he had always been in the habit of going to church on Christmas. So he gathered a couple of his buddies, and they went into a nearby town to see if they could find someone celebrating Christmas. No church bells were ringing. No one was there on the streets. They were huddled in their houses in fear of the war around them. Finally, the GIs found a building that looked like some kind of an institution. They knocked on the door and they were let in. It was an orphanage. Children orphaned by the war. The living quarters and provisions were meager. So the GIs began to move among the children, giving them whatever they had in their pockets. A piece of candy to this one, a pencil, some change. Finally, the GI who had initiated the search for for a Christmas celebration, found a young boy huddled in a corner. He approached and asked what the little boy would like for Christmas. The little boy looked up at him and said, "Will you hug me?" With tears in his eyes, the war-hardened GI put his arms around that little boy and gave him a hug. Ordinary things shot through with glory. The GI could not change the circumstances for that little boy. He could not take away all the loss, all the pain, all the reality of war. But with that ordinary act of a hug, he could offer the boy his presence, a blessing. Ordinary things shot through with glory. The announcement of a child. And the angel said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." The Lord is with you, Mary, in the midst of life. The Lord is with you as you face the hardships of poverty and foreign occupation. The Lord is with you as you face the terror of life on the run in Egypt. The Lord is with you like a GI in the midst of the horrors of war, offering a hug to a scared and lonely child. The Lord is with us. That is the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is not some fairy tale reality that has come to pull us out of this world or insulate us from the reality around us. It is not an escape from the problems and hardships we face, each one of us, in our day-to-day lives. But the message is, God is with us. A vulnerable, real live, ordinary, crying, cooing, sleeping, eating, wedding baby. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has said, "In the Child of Bethlehem, the life of the world that is to come has come into the life of the world that is." Baby Jesus, too, in need of a hug, the hands and care of a human touch and love, ordinary things shot through with glory. And the voice of the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid." That voice came to Mary, that voice comes to us. The voice of the angel reminding us that God came, that God comes, that God is with us. Barbara Brown Taylor, a pastor, a writer, and a theologian, wrote a sermon, and within that sermon, a story about God's visit to this world. God tells his angels and archangels that he plans to enter the world that he has created. He plans to enter it as a baby. The angels are clearly upset about this plan. A baby is vulnerable. This is a high-risk plan in a dangerous world. But God insists on his plan. He wants his creatures on earth to know that he will do anything to let them know he cares for them. It's a daring plan, but God is set on it. So the angels grudgingly agree. And their applause begins. Not a happy, spontaneous applause, but a slow, steady applause. An applause full of awe. Before the applause stops, God turns to leave the chamber, shedding his clothes as he goes. The angels watched as his midnight blue robe fell to the floor. And where it fell, the floor melted, opening a hole. Below were shepherds, tending their sheep on a hillside. It was hard to see who was more startled, the angels or the shepherds. The lead angel said in as gentle a voice as possible, "Don't be afraid, for we are bringing you good news which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. who is Christ the Lord. And way down the hill, from the city of Bethlehem, came the sound of a newborn baby's cry. The wonder of Christmas. God with us. To be in God's favor is not always easy, but it is filled with wonder and with hope. Howard Thurman was an African-American philosopher and theologian and mentor to many of the civil rights leaders of the 60s and the 70s. Many testified to his tremendous power to draw others to him. Many testified to his power to help others, to find strength in themselves, and to live their life unto God. This is the message of Christmas, the message to us. Do not be afraid. God is with us. He will give you strength to live your life and to live it unto him. In one of Howard Thurman's poems from a collection called The Moods of Christmas, he writes, "Despite all the crassness of life, despite all the harsh discord of life, life is saved by the singing of the angels." The singing reminds us that the ordinary things of life, a baby, a hug, the presence of one with another, are shot through with glory, the glory of God with us. Like Mary, we cannot understand fully what this means, God with us in the birth of a baby. But with Mary, may we display a faith that rests not on total understanding, but on trust. Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with